in the mess, under construction, date of completion, Jesus' return. Amen? I have to wear this shirt for my wife sometimes. So Richie Chamonix made that shirt for me because I like saying that. Even though we're made brand new in Christ Jesus, there's still things in our emotions, in our mind, in the heart of man, mind, will, and emotions that God is still renewing and working on. Amen? By the Holy Spirit, by the way. Amen? He's working on those things by the Holy Spirit. So are you comfortable talking about the Holy Spirit? Absolutely. Absolutely. I want to start out in 2 Corinthians 13 and 11 to 14, part 1, knowing the Holy Spirit. Finally, brothers. You have that, Bill? Okay, I'm just going to read it. Sorry, I'm in the New American Standard Bible, 2 Corinthians 13, 11 through 14, but I'm just going to read 11 and 12 and 13. 2 Corinthians 13 in the New American Standard, 11 verses 11 through 14. It says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice, mend your ways, be comforted." Amen. How many people say here, "Thank you, Lord, for your comfort." Be like-minded. Who's he talking about? Like-minded. You and I in the church, be like-minded. Live in peace. Hallelujah. Do we need peace in the world today? And the God of love and peace will be with you. Thank you, Lord. Greet one another with a holy kiss. We don't do that in today's world so much, do we? Not greeting each other with a holy kiss. And it says, all the saints greet you. And then the very last verse of 2 Corinthians of 13, chapter 13, verse 14, he says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. We're going to talk about the three different persons of the Trinity. Trinity's not in the Bible, but the three different persons in the Godhead. God the Father, amen. God the Son, thank you for Jesus. And God the Holy Spirit. Or if you've been in church a long time, God the Holy Ghost. Amen, the Holy Ghost. So answering some questions, there's a lot of questions we're going to talk about. Is the Holy Spirit a person? Is the Holy Spirit part of the Trinity? How do you receive the Holy Spirit? What is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? What is the fruit of the Holy Spirit? What are the gifts of the Holy Spirit? And on and on and on we can go of answering questions about the Holy Spirit. Amen? I want to start out before we start delving into the very foundational truths of the Holy Spirit, something that Jesus told his disciples in John chapter 17, verses 1 through 3. John chapter 17, the Gospel of John. And I'm sorry we have a technical difficulty in our overheads. We got it. Thank you, John. So Jesus is speaking to his disciples. John 17, verses 1 through 3. Jesus spoke these things, and raising his eyes to heaven, he said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that the Son may glorify you. Just as you gave him authority over all mankind, so that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life." Amen? Eternal life. Who here loves, is thankful for eternal life? And then Jesus says something here. He says, "And this is eternal life." He says, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." So Jesus explains eternal life here, not in a length of time. I mean, I pray and believe the scriptures that talk about length of time, a long life. Amen? Most of us here want a long life, right? Some of us here have already have lived a long life. But he's not explaining eternal life here as a length or period of time. Not at all. What he's talking about is a quality of life. Verse 3, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, in Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Hallelujah. So we're talking about, first thing is Jesus is talking about quality of life or eternal life. He starts out by saying, this is eternal life. This is what eternal life is, that you may know me, that you may know the Father whom sent me to reveal him in truth. Amen? So eternal life starts with knowing him. Did you know people can give great exploits? And even in the scripture it says there were those who laid hands on the sick that recovered, but Jesus said, I don't know you. But then we can't say that there's no miracles or God doesn't do things, because Paul said, I did the things that prove I'm an apostle, with the great works and powerful working of the Holy Spirit in signs and wonders. But this first thing, as far as a quality of life, this first thing called eternal life has to do with knowing him. Hallelujah. Let me ask you, do you know him today? Do you know Jesus today? How he loves you. We're going to talk about how he reveals, how God reveals himself and his Son is through the Holy Spirit, through the third part, the third person in the Trinity. Hallelujah, it's the Holy Spirit. If, matter of fact, as I get off my notes into the weeds a little bit, I can't help it. I try my best. It says in Romans 8, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're none of his. If you know him as your personal Savior, you already have a power in you that you don't even realize. Because if the world through religion and the lying voice of the devil and the voice of the world says, that's foolishness. Let us show you what true wisdom is. We've been talking about wisdom. Remember, we had a great series on the wisdom of God. It's all predicated, it's all released, it's all revealed to us through the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Through the Holy Spirit. So he says, and this is eternal life, verse 3 again, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And so this, in the Greek, this word know, meaning to be aware of, it also means to feel. There's times where I can feel God. Absolutely, you can't help it. If the creator of the world lives in me, I can feel him. And then there's other times where I don't understand the mysteries of knowing God. I'm saying, God, where are you? And then that's where I'm standing firm by faith. And sure enough, sooner or later, sometimes it seems like later, sometimes it's sooner, there he shows up to encourage me through his word, through his spirit, through you, through one another. But I can tell you, sooner or later, he will show up on the scene. Amen? He always shows up. To perceive him, be resolved. Be resolved that if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, he lives in you, and the Spirit of God wants to reveal much more to you in your inner man. Amen? To be sure, understand, to speak. It also means to speak. Speaking the things of God, declaring the truths of God, talking about the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we serve one God in three specific persons. I had mentioned, because of my background, that Church of Christ, a Baptist, Assemblies of God. I'm not saying anything bad about them, but different, all of them, different perspectives about the Holy Spirit. I even went to a church, me and my wife, it was 5 years that it was a church that was, the pastor was a prophet. And so there was a mindset of how the Holy Spirit worked there. Me and my wife learned a great deal there, because after 5 or 6 years, that church shut down. And there was many people hurt. And if there's anything I've learned from that, is there still apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers and evangelists? You bet you there is. But here's one thing, is God wants to speak to me. God can speak to me prophetically as well, amen? But I'm not relying on anybody to give me direction in my life. It's given to me by the Holy Spirit that lives in me. And maybe God will bring somebody else that'll confirm that. or speak something in my life, hallelujah. But the Holy Spirit, it says in the book of Hebrews 1, in the past he spoke to his people Israel through the prophets, but now he speaks through to you and I through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen. You and I have the capability to hear his voice if you know him as your Lord and Savior. Because that same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you and I. Amen. Do you know the Holy Spirit? Don't let the words Holy Spirit creep you out. Say, Lord, I'm willing to learn new things. I don't care how long you've walked with God, what you've done in ministry or anything else. Say, Lord, you're always revealing Jesus Christ in a new way as we get closer and closer to his return. For the church being caught up in the air ever to be with the Lord. Don't have the mindset, I've learned everything I need to learn. I need to know. That's why denominations stop. They'll get a revelation of God and they go no further. Everything's been revealed to us and they stop, where God will keep moving on and revealing himself. I think God has been in the middle of revealing what the power of grace in a believer's life. The power of grace over sin in your life. The power for you and I to feel comfortable even in our struggles that he loves us 100%. Amen? That somehow, even in my struggles, he lives with me and he's comfortable living there. I don't get it. Amen? But he's comfortable being with me even in my struggles because of the blood of Jesus. Amen? Are you still awake this morning? How does this happen, knowing God? We serve God in three, he's three persons, but yet he's one. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You know, I can talk about God the Father, I can talk about Jesus, but if I mention the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, it can be a totally different game. We talked about that. Let me tell you, God is a person. We're in the family of God, but you know, God is also my friend. That can be a struggle with people because, like, you can't pick your family, can you? But we can pick our friends. So seeing another side of God, he's called us into the family of God. We're born again. We're joint heirs with Christ. But see, it shines another dimension on our relationship with God when we say that he's our friend. James 2:23 in the New American Standard Bible says, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and Abraham believed God. You believe God this morning? And it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. A friend of God. You think about a friend. You know, friends are conversations that you can have with that you can't have with a family member, maybe. Amen? A good friend, a real friend, is somebody where you can be who you are and they won't judge you. They won't say, hey, sorry, you can't share that with me. I can't be your friend anymore. A true friend is somebody that you can bear yourself to and they're still your friend. You know what? Even if you haven't bared your heart to God, he still knows you intimately and still loves you. He knows everything about you and still chooses to call you friend. He chooses to call you friend. Did you know that? That's a tough one for me. That's a tough one. It's like, I don't know about that. Because religion will say he's a father that's aloof. He's off here. Well, no, not at all. It says one thing, he inhabits the praises of his people, hallelujah. When we're here, we should know that the Holy Spirit is here, amen. And we'll talk about it where else he lives as well, a friend. Let's go to Proverbs 18:24. A man who has friends must himself be friendly. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Who sticks, as we get into that friend, brothers and sisters, is the Holy Spirit. Has to be. God is on his throne. Remember Isaiah, he said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. He saw God, he saw a portion of God. He said, he is high and lifted up on a throne. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Amen. God on his throne. And God and Jesus is there. Where is God? Where's Jesus at? At the right hand of the Father. Hallelujah. Right now. Make an intercession for you and I. Amen. Amen. Let's go to John 15, 15. Hang in there with me. This is good stuff. Holy Spirit. Line upon line. Precept upon precept. You guys thought I was going to start today in just the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. But it starts way before that. The foundation of the Holy Spirit goes way before that. There's much more to the Holy Spirit than just manifestations. And let me say, nothing wrong with the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. But there's a sure foundation we want to lay here today. I don't know if this will go 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks. Wouldn't it be cool all year long? Hallelujah. This is Jesus talking to his disciples in John 15, 15. John 15, 15, it says, no longer do I call you slaves. See, we were a slave under sin, under the bondage of sin, and separated from God before Christ rose from the dead. So Jesus here hadn't rose from the dead yet, but he was letting them in on what was going to happen. He was letting them in on things that were going to change. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, because all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. He's a friend. It sticks closer than a brother. Through the Holy Spirit, he is here to lead and guide us. Amen? That he loves us. That he's comfortable being around you and I. Did you know that? I'm telling you, the biggest thing that you can realize in your walk with Jesus is that even in the middle of your under construction, he's okay still living in you, still being your friend. Better be, or we're in trouble. See, some people have learned through religion this thing. We'll talk about grieving the Holy Spirit like he's in and out, in and out, in and out. We'll look at that scripture in Ephesians. It says that it says not to grieve the Holy Spirit. Then it says you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. And if I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit, I belong to him. I'm born again, blood washed, spirit filled, tongue talking, testifying, man of God. Even on the worst days. Even on the days you're like, I don't get it. He does. And he's still comfortable being with you as your God, your Savior, as family, and as your friend. As your friend. He sticks closer than a brother. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, he's your friend. Anything that would say he's not is a lie of Satan and religious. Religion, it says, no, you got to keep a list. Checking it twice. Sorry, we just came out of Christmas. Checking on who's naughty or nice. You know, when you realize that the Holy Spirit is still in you and is not jumping in and out or says, I'm not going to talk to you for a few days because of your attitude. Until you figure out how to get this attitude changed, I'm not going to talk to you. Then it's on us, in the flesh, to straighten our attitude out. Instead of coming to him and saying, Jesus, Holy Spirit, thank you for helping me with my attitude. Thank you for helping me to be more and more like you in the flesh. Thank you for not leaving me or forsaking me. His word said he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Thank you, God, that you're by the blood of Jesus, that you're here with me. You haven't left me. You want to encourage me. Instead of trying to figure out, Lord, how can I make you happy again? And doing works in the flesh, And then you end up comparing yourself to others, and then you end up having a list, and then you compare your list to others, and you think, well, maybe I need to add more to my list. And it just never ends. I'm going to tell you, in Christ Jesus, there is no list. There's freedom. There may be struggles, but in Christ, whom the Son sets free, is free indeed. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom! Well, where is the Spirit of the Lord? We think it's just in a gathering where we get pumped up. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But the Spirit of the Lord is with me on Monday morning when I open my eyes. I'm like, is it Monday? Is it Monday again? The Spirit of that same Spirit is there Monday. That same Spirit, when I'm struggling in my mind with impure thoughts, is still there. I can say, Lord, help me with these. What the religion says is clean those up and then God will be happy with you. That's not how it can work. It'll never work that way. Amen. But when you realize he loves you in spite of it, that's when the covers have been pulled, begin to be pulled off of the lies of the enemy. That's when you can step in and say, Lord, it says, come into his throne room with boldness. Wow. Come into the Holy of Holies. Well, if we get there today, with boldness. You and I, being in the Holy of Holies, carrying the Holies of Holies around with us, we'll look at it, it blows my mind. You know, the fact that he would live near me, in me, be with me everywhere I go, it blows my mind if you look at the old covenant laws and the types and shadows. I'm getting way ahead of myself. So some of you have to get past the idea that God wants to be your friend. God is our Father. Check mark. We're okay with that. Check. Jesus is a sacrifice for sin. Check. But God is my friend. Blows people's minds. See, we don't have any pushback when I mention Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Amen? Jehovah Rapha, my healer. Hallelujah. We love it. And those are true statements. Jehovah Nisi, Adonai Nisi, my banner. God being our banner. No pushback when I mention Jesus as God, Son of God, Prince of Peace, King of Kings. Amen. But when I mention the Holy Spirit, there's two camps. Do you have that first slide, Bill? Can you put it up? Is it not working? So we have the Holy Spirit, and we have two camps. See the arrows? There's those that ignore. We're not going to talk about the Holy Spirit. We're not comfortable. The Holy Spirit, we don't know how it works now. He's not in existence. He was there in the book of Acts, but that was done away with the apostles. And then on the other side, we can have ignorance. So we have those that are running from the Holy Spirit like a scalded dog, and we have others that are barking like a dog on the other end. I probably should talk about that, but I won't. I don't have time. You can look it up. And I'm not here to make fun of anybody. But I know the Holy Spirit is here to reveal Jesus, so anything he does is a revelation of Jesus Christ. Signs and wonders. Signs and wonders. So we have those on that said, ignore him. Hey, look, in 1 Corinthians 13, it says, hey, look, it says, he's talking to the Corinthian church who operated in the gifts of the Spirit wonderfully and powerfully. Read 1 Corinthians 12. Then it talks about love in 1 Corinthians 13. Then read 1 Corinthians 14. It talks about the gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit. But he starts out in chapter 12, verse 1, or chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. He says, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. So he had to talk about the spiritual gifts. See, the spiritual gifts that are wonderful, but that has nothing to do with maturity necessarily. The Corinthian church was very immature. They were suing one another in the court of man, Amen. They were comparing each other's spiritual gifts with one another. And all along, they were in different camps following Paul, Apollos, Peter. Meanwhile, flowing in the power of the Holy Spirit. But Paul said, I would not have you ignorant. He says, there's some things I need to tell you. There's some things I need to teach and reveal to you. He says, man, you're walking in every gift. But he also says, but you're really carnal. So we have those camps. We got people that will run from it. And then others that will take it too far or take it to a place that's it's not the Holy Spirit. It's not the Holy Spirit. So first point, number one, I finally have some points. If you're taking notes. Number one is the principle of Godhead. You've heard the term Trinity. Well, Trinity, triune God, or three gods in one, the word Trinity is not found in the Bible. But Godhead, the Godhead is. So, Bill, if you got that second slide, please. Thank you for your help, Bill. So you got the Godhead. It's Father. You've got Jesus, amen, and the Holy Spirit. There's three different scriptures in the New Testament that mentions Godhead. This one being in Acts 17:29, when it talks about the Godhead. It's in Romans chapter 1, and I believe it's in Colossians 2 or 3 where it talks about the Godhead. We got the Godhead of Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Amen? You see, this is how I kind of look at it. The Heavenly Father conceived the plan for man. Going back all the way to Genesis, remember he says, you've bruised the head of man, but he's going to, or I should say Satan is talking about Satan. You've bruised man's heel, but he will crush your head. It also talks about man being made in our image. It says our image. So I look at also the Heavenly Father, the one who conceived the plan for man. Amen? Jesus is the one who executes the plan of the Father. Remember in the garden, he says, not my will, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. He executed the plan of the Father. And then the Holy Spirit reveals or unveils the plan of salvation to man. Remember, Jesus says, I don't know when I'm coming back. Only the Father knows. Amen. He says, I don't know, but the Father. We got the Godhead. God the Father. Amen. God, and then we got God the Son. Jesus, who's the one who executed the plan. He died for our sins. He was the only one that could have our sins washed away. He's the reason that you and I can be born again. God the Father had a plan, and Jesus said, I can execute that plan. He said, Satan has nothing in me. He never committed a sin. He never had a bad thought, all the things we've talked about. And he executed God's plan perfectly to take the keys of death and hell from Satan. Amen? And the Holy Spirit reveals his plan. 2 Corinthians 13:14. We've mentioned it already. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for the grace of the Lord Jesus? And the love of God. See, Jesus revealed grace, but it was God's heart. You talk about the law. The law was God's character. The cross was God's heart. The law was God's character. He's perfect in every way. But the cross was God's heart for mankind. Are you still with me this morning? I know it feels like we're kind of, hopefully we're not in mud. Hopefully we're treading over the mud. I like how the Message Bible talks about says 2 Corinthians 13:14. The amazing grace of the Master, Jesus Christ. The extravagant love of God. The intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. Hallelujah. The three are one God. 1 John 5:7, and the King James says, for there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, amen, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. Who is the Word? John, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Amen. So that first point I had was the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. The second point, the Holy Spirit is a person and not a force of good in the universe. He's not like in the Star Wars movies, the force be with you, right? He's not a cosmic mist to do good. The Holy Spirit is not a mist. He's the third member of the Godhead. Acts 5, 1 through 4. I'm not going to get into all the details of Ananias and Sapphira, but I want to just read this for a specific purpose. But a man named Ananias, Acts 5, 1 through 4. But a man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property and kept back some of the proceeds for herself with his wife's full knowledge. And bringing a portion of it, he laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it that you have conceived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. So in reading this, he first said, you've lied to the Holy Spirit. Then he says, you've lied to God. God the Father. God the Son. And then we've got God the Holy Spirit. Matthew 28:19 in the New American Standard says, Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three gods in one, but perfect in their unity of mind. As we'll read, as we'll get into, they're perfect in unity. You know, God's called the church to be in unity. Isn't that amazing? As God being in unity with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, perfect unity, God's called us to be in unity. It says he's called us to be one mind. One mind. Third point, the Holy Spirit has always been around. I want to read a few things of the Holy Spirit. He's always been around. Isaiah 63:11 says, he was in the Israelites' midst. So he was in the midst of the people. Then his people remembered the days of old of Moses, where is he who brought them up out of the sea with the shepherds of his flock? Where is he who put his Holy Spirit in the midst of them? The Holy Spirit was in the midst of the Israelites even when they were in the wilderness. He led them with a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. That was the Holy Spirit. But it wasn't revealed to the Israelites at that time, the third person. They knew about it, but they didn't have the revelation that you and I have of the Holy Spirit. Or I should say that a lot of us will have of the Holy Spirit. Judges 6:34. He covered or empowered back then. Judges 6:34. So the Spirit of the Lord covered Gideon like clothing, and he blew a trumpet, and the Abiezrites were called together to follow him. What did the Spirit of God do with Gideon? It covered him. Amen. It empowered him. But it was not in him. 2 Peter 1:20 and 21. What, another thing, it inspires. The scriptures are inspired through the Holy Spirit. For 2 Peter 1:20 and 21. But know this, first of all, that no prophecy of scripture becomes a matter of someone's own interpretation. It just wasn't written down. It didn't sound like a good story or some good points or good things to help you live life, right? That's not what the Word of God was for. Verse 21, for no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. So this Bible that you have was inspired. It is perfect. It was written by men through what? Through the Holy Spirit. As men were inspired by God, they wrote the Bible. Moses inspired by the Word of God. Isaiah inspired by, he saw the throne of God in Isaiah 6, but it was the Father, but it was the Holy Spirit that inspired him to write the book of Isaiah. Amen. It wasn't because he saw the Father on his throne that he wrote Isaiah. It was because he was inspired by the Holy Spirit. The inspiration in our lives in God comes by the Holy Spirit. Amen? Inspiration, inspire, strengthen, vision, dreams, things that God has for us. Inspired, hopefully, by who? The Holy Spirit. Do you love Him this morning? I want to talk about a few things of God's holiness. Remember His character of holiness and perfection. 1 Samuel 6:19, the first part of it. Now He fatally, this is God, He fatally struck down some of the men of Beth Shemesh because they had looked into the ark of the Lord. They took the lid off, which they weren't supposed to do, and looked into the ark, and over 50,000 men died. The holiness of God, the perfection of God in the Old Testament, they paid a price. See, someone had to pay the price for sin, rebellion. At that time, it was through sheep and goats, and the rebellion of man cost them their lives. But we got to tie that together with the same Holy Spirit that is now willing to live with us comfortably. But when we interpret things wrongly from the Old Testament, somehow we're still fearful of God because we have an old covenant mentality. And it's what it's saying is the blood of Jesus wasn't enough, or we were taught that the blood of Jesus wasn't enough. I'm here to tell you that the blood of Jesus was enough. Amen. 2 Samuel 6:10-11. And David was unwilling to move the ark of the Lord into the city of David with him, but David took it aside to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. The ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, for 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. The backstory of that is they were moving this, the ark of the covenant, who had actually been captured by the enemies of Israel, and they were taking it back to Jerusalem. And the mules or whatever that were moving it stumbled, and somebody reached out to touch the ark to steady it, and he died. And it said that David got mad. He said, well, I'm not bringing that here. I'm not bringing that into Jerusalem. So he went to a family's house, and it said everything in that family was blessed. And after 3 months, David said, we got to bring that back to Jerusalem. See, that was the heart of God. See, that holiness part of God, where somebody has to pay for sin. Somebody has to pay for rebellion. That God is perfect and holy. So we see where the character of God, where this individual died, and then they take the Ark of the Covenant, and it's at a family's estate, and everything in that home was blessed. Did you know God's blessing through the Holy Spirit is in our lives? If you're living under an old covenant mentality with the Holy Spirit, you'll never have any confidence. You'll never be able to move ahead even in your struggles. You'll keep waiting for these struggles to be dealt with in your own strength, and the devil will make sure they just never are. We're dead to sin, it says. Amen? And Romans chapter 6, it says we're dead to sin. There's a different way to deal with that through the power of the Holy Spirit. So where did God live in the Old Testament? The Ark of the Covenant. Hebrews 9:6-8. Now when these things have been so prepared, we'll talk about it, the priests are continually entering the outer tabernacle, performing the divine worship. But into the second, only the high priest enters once a year, not without taking blood, which he offers for himself and for the sins of the people committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit is signifying who the Holy Spirit is signifying this, that the way into the holy places has not yet been disclosed while the outer tabernacle is still standing. Bill, can you show me that number 3 slide? He's talking about this tabernacle right here. See, there was that first veil, a first door where they went in. Well, first you had the altar of burnt offerings, amen? Major offering for sin, the cleansing. Now we're washed by the water of the word, amen? Ceremonial cleansing. And then they went through that first door or veil. Table of the showbread. Who's our showbread now? Jesus. The altar of incense. That's my prayers and worship. My prayers and worship are like incense. But you see that second, that veil, that second entrance into the Ark of the Covenant. Once a year, a priest would go in there with blood to atone for the sins of Israel. If you read your Bible and Jesus died, what happened to that veil? Who tore it? God tore it in two. The veil was torn from top to bottom, signifying that the way to God was not through a veil anymore. That atonement for sin wasn't done once a year through rituals by man taking blood. No, it said Jesus took the blood, his blood, into the temple in heaven and put his blood there for once and for all. Died for once and for all, never to die again. And it says it wasn't disclosed. The end of that says it hadn't been disclosed yet what God was going to do, where the holy place was going to be from now on. So where is the Holy Spirit now? Point four. Thanks for hanging in there. I can see on your eyes, some of you are like, too close to New Year. But we need these little steps about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, what he did in the Old Testament and what he's doing now. And the way the Holy Spirit treated sin and rebellion in the Old Testament versus how he treats and deals with it now. For you and I, the believer. Point four. Where is the Holy Spirit now? 1 Corinthians 3:16-17. Paul says it right here. Do you not know that you are the... You see that temple right there? The tent of meetings that we just had up? Where the Holy Spirit dwelt? Where atonement for sin was made? Do you not know that you are a... That you and I, are a temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone destroys the temple of God, God will destroy that person. For the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are. You know, it's interesting the way I was raised, that I was always taught that you better not destroy your temple, Chad. Don't smoke, drink, or chew, or go with girls that do. Amen? It's always said that you better not destroy your temple. I mean, look, eating a half dozen donuts is probably messing with my temple. I'm at the age where my body says, yep, it sure is. Now you can't think straight for the next 3 hours. You're on a sugar haze. I was going to say something about a purple haze. But some of you wouldn't even... Didn't even said it, huh? No purple hazes. And I can get on a sugar haze. Here's the thing with verse 17. It says, if anyone, it doesn't say if anyone destroys the temple of God, God will destroy that person. You know how precious you are in his sight? You're his temple. Remember I mentioned, or maybe it was on a Wednesday where I said, when Paul was on the road to Damascus, and he was knocked off his horse and he saw a bright light. What did Jesus say? He says, why do you persecute me? Well, who was he persecuting? The church. See, you're precious in God's sight. And there's people that won't come to the Lord, and they're used of the devil to destroy the body of Christ, destroy the people of God. There's coming a day people like that are going to have to stand before God and give an account. Why did you do that to my people? Why would you not heed the voice of my Holy Spirit? Why wouldn't you yield to me? Because of their pride. But this is how precious you are. If you have Jesus, the Holy Spirit living in you, you are the temple of God now. The Holy of Holies is inside of you. Can you believe that? And now it's not something that God just comes and dwells in once a year. He's with me wherever I go. He never leaves me or forsakes me. In my struggles, he's still there. When I'm trying to avoid him, he's still there. Because he loves me. Because the way of him dealing with mankind, sin being exhausted, God's wrath against sin being satisfied once and for all at the cross. At the cross. And now, because of that, God's plan, which had always been these types and shadows, now his law is in my heart. Now he's given me a new heart. Amen. Now I've been born again. His Holy Spirit has sealed me. I've been born again. Now he's there. He's not going anywhere. I can walk in rebellion and become as miserable as I want, but he's still there until I finally say, Uncle. You guys know that one. Say, Lord, I'm tired of rebelling against you. I'm tired of doing my own thing. And then God is there always with open arms. Many of us experienced that. The Holy Spirit living in me. Acts 5:32 says, and we are witness of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Why I've obeyed him. Jesus, come into my heart. Jesus, I believe by faith that you shed your blood for me 2,000 years ago. I believe that. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. I believe that. I will obey the gospel to trust in you by faith. Amen. Where's the Holy Spirit as well? Psalms 139:7, as I try to wrap this up, 7 through 10 in the New American Standard Bible. His omnipresence. God is everywhere. Where can I go? This is David. Man, he had an understanding of God and even the working of the Holy Spirit before the Holy Spirit's coming in his power on Pentecost. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? Amen. Some of us need to hear that this morning. If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, hell, behold, you are there. If I take up the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me. And your right hand will take hold of me. See, Jesus' sacrifice revealed the Holy Spirit's purpose for today's believer. And number five, this might be the last point. What is the most important thing the Holy Spirit does? It reveals truth. It's the revealed truth. John 14, 16, and 17 says, I will ask the Father, this is Jesus, and he will give you another helper. A helper, amen? Our friend is a helper in a time of need. So that he may be with you forever. How long is he going to be with me? Forever, amen? The helper is the Spirit, listen, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. The world can't receive the Holy Spirit because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he remains with you and will be in you. The Spirit of truth, revealing the truths of Jesus Christ. The first thing is the Holy Spirit reveals that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus died for our sins. Amen? That Jesus washed our sins away. And then the second thing is he says, I'm going to live in you. Amen. 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 John 1:17 says, so what's the Spirit of truth? I like this. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. You could say it like this. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth were realized through Jesus Christ. That truth is the Holy Spirit revealing Jesus Christ. There's a lot of truths out there. 2 + 2 = 4. Amen? There's a lot of different things, but the truth he's talking about is Jesus is the way, Jesus is the truth, and Jesus is the life. The Holy Spirit starts out by he reveals truth. The truth of who his Son is. The truth of the power of the cross, what it has done it wants to do in our lives. Amen. John 14, 16, and 17. These things I have spoken to you while remaining with you. But the Helper, who's the Helper? The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and remind you of the things that I have said. I'm going to finish this verse. So point five is the Holy Spirit, number one, is he reveals truth. truth of the Word of God. You can't understand the Word of God. I can't understand the Word of God except through the Helper. See, people that say, I can't understand the Word of God, I can't understand the Word of God. You can. If the Spirit of God lives in you, you can understand the Word of God. You can't understand it without Him anyway. Nobody can understand it without Him. They can give you some good moral values. It can be great. You can. That's why we have these false religions that say He was a prophet. But see, the Holy Spirit says, no, He wasn't a prophet. He was the Son of God. Amen? The Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit testifies and glorifies Jesus. This is the important one important step here, number six. The Holy Spirit testifies and glorifies Himself? No. He testifies and glorifies Jesus. John 15, 26 says, when the Helper comes, and the Helper has already come, whom I will send to you from the Father, namely the Spirit of truth, amen, who comes from the Father, He will testify about Me. John 16, 12 through 14 says, I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them at the present time. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak of His own, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify Me, Jesus says, for He will take from Mine and He will disclose it to you. The Holy Spirit loves that Jesus gets the credit. He loves that Jesus gets the credit. He said, I'm here to glorify Jesus. In the name of Jesus, you'll cast out devils, but it's the Holy Spirit that does the work. In the name of Jesus, you shall lay hands on the sick and they will recover. In the name of Jesus, but it's by the Holy Spirit that's being done. He is here to glorify and lift up and magnify Jesus. The Holy Spirit is not here to magnify any man or any concept outside that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And through Him, we have the power to live an overcoming, productive life. As one of my favorite saying is, God has not called us to cope, He's called us to conquer in Jesus' name. The Holy Spirit, when you start reading things or people writing things about the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit needing to get credit, He's not here to get credit. He's here to reveal things and to destroy the works of the power of Satan through the name of Jesus. Amen. The Holy Spirit. As the worship team comes, amen. Did you stay awake the whole time? Bill, let's put that last slide up, please, brother. Thank you. So this is week one, part one. We talked about the Godhead. Who's the Godhead? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person. Called it the He, the Holy Spirit, not an it. He, the Holy Spirit. The third part of the Trinity, the Godhead. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's not a mist, amen? He's not out there just, no, He's a person. We talked about the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. His operation in the Old Testament wasn't always good for Israelite, amen? But what hadn't been revealed yet was what God's salvation plan through Jesus. My question is, are you following the Holy Spirit of the New Testament? Or are you still have parts of the Old Testament having a fear of the Holy Spirit that you shouldn't have? The beginning of wisdom is fear. I haven't offered God. When I met Jesus, I realized, man, if I hadn't met Him, I had no eternal hope. But how can I live in this type of fear? And then it says that He's my friend. How can I do that? He's my friend. Where is the Holy Spirit now? In me, doing great things through me. He's not out there. We're not calling Him in worship. Come on now. No, He's in our midst already.
Amen.
Right? He's in our midst walking. The Holy Jesus walking through each aisle. He knows every heart by the Holy Spirit. There's nothing you can hide from Him anyway. He loves you. I said He loves you. The power of the Holy Spirit can break every bondage, every chain, every lie in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, demons have to flee. In the name of Jesus, sickness has to be healed. In the name of Jesus, depression must go in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, where is the Holy Spirit? He's now in me. The Holy Spirit reveals truth. The Word of God is truth. There's gifts in the Spirit we'll talk about when we get there, but He's here to reveal truth. Without revealing truth, we're lost. Amen? And the Holy Spirit testifies of Jesus. He's not here to glorify Himself. He's not here to show off and say, hey, did you see what I did? Yep. Wow, did you see what I did? No, He's here to say, did you see what happened in the name of Jesus? Did you see what I did in the name of God's Son? Did you see what I'm doing in the name of Jesus? He loves giving the glory to Jesus. The Holy Spirit loves the name of Jesus being lifted high. Lifted up high the name of Jesus. Would you stand with me this morning? When we lift high the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, that's how the Holy Spirit works. Amen? It's to the point where I'll be lifting the name of Jesus and I'll feel His peace and His presence. It's Jesus through the Holy Spirit. When I ask Jesus to come into my heart, that's Jesus, but it's the Holy Spirit coming into my heart. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. It's the Holy Spirit that is indwelling. We read scripture after scripture. We read scripture after scripture that He's dwelling in you. And so this morning, as we talk about the Holy Spirit coming in 2022, say, Holy Spirit, I want you to manifest yourself in me in a greater way this year through the name of Jesus, through Jesus. As we exalt Him, the Holy Spirit will do His work. We don't have to whip it up. We can't even imagine what Jesus will do through His Holy Spirit. You see, the revivals of the past, those are things of the past. They were great works. But Jesus says, hey, I'm doing a new thing. Do you perceive it? I'm doing a new thing. Lord, I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit that you would let us know, that you would reveal to us what you're doing by your Spirit in 2022. Lord, in the country we live in right now, Lord, what it needs is a tidal wave of the Holy Spirit. We can make all the laws we want. It doesn't change people's hearts. Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit would touch people's hearts, Father God, that it would knock people off their high horses like you did the Apostle Paul. But we thank you, Father God, for bringing down the pride of man and raising up Jesus. His banner over me is love. So, Father, we thank you. As we sing this song, Lord, just say, Lord, thank you that you live in me by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, reveal your purposes for my life in this coming year. Holy Spirit, the things that I need to be broken off of my life in Jesus' name, Lord. It's going to be done by the power of God that already lives in me. It's not going to be something that comes out there that you somehow got to get it to move closer to you. No, it's already there. Let Him work in your life. Jesus, we thank you for that. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your anointing. Father, we thank you for the power that works through us mightily. We thank you for your presence right here, right now. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. You love God this morning? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit working in us. Next week, we're going to talk about the wind of the Holy Spirit. The wind. Doesn't that sound fun? Father, we thank you for that. If you need prayer, if you'd like someone to pray with you, I'm going to stay up here. There'll be others that'll be here. We'd like to pray for you. If you need prayer for anything, let us agree with you. Amen. We thank you. In Jesus' name, be blessed. In Jesus' name, be blessed. In Jesus' name, receive of His peace. In Jesus' name, receive of His healing. In Jesus' name, receive of His deliverance. In Jesus' name, receive of His joy. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, that's the kingdom of God. I'm glad I brought that scripture up. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. In the Holy Spirit, that's the kingdom of God. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.